Let me read with you 2 Kings chapter 8 and the verse number 1. Then spake Elisha unto the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, Arise and go thou and thine household and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn, for the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years. And then just the first few words of verse 2. And the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God. Amen. Let me just introduce this passage to you. In verse number 1, again we are directed to Elisha, this prophet whom God had raised to serve him and to declare his will and his word upon the nation. And he speaks here to this woman. It was the woman whose son he restored to life. So if you can recall just a few chapters ago, if you turn back with me here, wasn't it chapter 4? And in chapter 4 in the verse 8, here you have the very passage, chapter 4 verse 8, where it says, And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. And remember, there's the only time in Scripture you have that phrase, a great woman. So she has that unique position in Scripture. It goes on to say, And she constrained him to eat bread, and so it was, as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. Not only did she see the need here for this man to be fed on the way past, what was she doing? This woman was searching to see if there was anything she could do to help the work of God advance. For the work of God to go with as few hindrances as possible. And so she sees this man, and there would always have been at least somebody with him. She was prepared at least to give him food on his way. But furthermore, it goes on to verse 10. And in verse 10 it says, well, the woman actually speaks here to her husband, and she says, Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us put furniture in there. And what she's doing is she's building an apartment on the side of her house for this man of God, because she understood that if he's spending all that time traveling back and forward, there's a lot of time which is being consumed there with his journey. So let's just build him a little lean-to, if you like, a little apartment, and he can stay there whenever he comes. It's more convenient. So here's a woman, as I said to you last time we dealt with that passage, she had eyes to see when there was work to be done. And she was looking and searching for how she could serve God. But not only had she good eyes, she had good hands. Because when she saw that something needed to be done, she just addressed it. And she did it. And the Lord never forgot what this woman did. Immediately after this, you will recall that while Elisha was in the house, he said to this great woman, is there anything you need? And she very contentedly said, no, I have everything. It was Elisha's servant Gehazi who highlighted to Elisha the reality that she had no children. And when Elisha heard that, he obviously prayed for her. God gave him a word. He conveyed that word to the woman. And it says there, in due time, she conceived and she had a son. And so the Lord gave her that son. Why did the Lord give her that son? You remember what I said on that occasion? It wasn't because that son was going to be important in the line of Christ. He wasn't like Judah. He wasn't like David. He wasn't like Boaz and Jesse and so on. Those were all men who had to be born because they brought along the line from which Christ would eventually be born. Nor was this little boy like Samson, a judge whom God used in significant ways to advance the kingdom of God and work for Israel. No, this little boy, we know nothing about him at all. We're told nothing of what he did as an adult. He disappears. And so it's very clear in that passage that God simply rewarded that woman for her faithfulness. Just gave her a reward that was fitting for her. The Lord has different rewards for different people. You needn't think just because you serve God you'll have a son or whatever. It's just simply indicating the point that God can do whatever he desires to bless you. That's the scene. years have passed by. Well, we can only assume that years have passed by. And we come now to 2 Kings 8. And God has pronounced a famine upon the land. And here's where this woman now comes back into the scene. We read in verse 1 that Elisha went to that woman. So obviously there's still a connection there. And he goes to that woman and he says to her, listen, there's going to be 7 years of famine. Pack your bags and go somewhere. And in verse 2, that's exactly what she did. She had to leave for a time according to the will of God for her to be fed. That's the idea here. But when I was thinking on this, I was trying to find a verse in the Bible that really captures this woman. And there's a verse in Matthew 10. Turn there if you wish. It's a good verse to know and to just get into the heart. Matthew 10. And here's what it says. Matthew 10, the verse 41. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And what that verse is simply saying is here, if you receive in someone, you will share in their reward. For you are sharing in their labor. You are sharing in their work. And let me put it to you like this. We might have in the weeks ahead of us, and we trust and pray it will be the case when God moves and souls are saved. And you might be prompted to say, well, the Lord gave the Reverend Brown a message and God blessed that message. And the Lord will reward him for his service. When in reality, this verse is telling something different. That if you share in service, and we're a body who shares, everybody has your part to play, whether you're tithing, whether you're praying, whether you're attending, or doing whatever, or supporting, or encouraging, whatever, we're in the work together, sharing together, and the Lord makes it clear that we are rewarded together. Verse 42 develops that scene, maybe to make it a little bit more personal now, verse 42. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall not in no wise lose his reward. So even when you give a cup of water, even to a little one, the Lord doesn't forget your act of kindness. And you know, that kind of encourages us, doesn't it? It gives you a sense where, you know, the Lord sees me doing every little task. And the Lord remembers me for every little task. And if the Lord's rewarding us, you know, that encourages me. It shows me the Lord's pleased with it. And I want to please the Lord. So if he's pleased with giving a cup of cold water to someone, well, let's do that. Not just because you know that person or you want to step in, but you're pleasing the Lord by doing it. And that's what this woman did. She took on the prophet here. She did much for him. She even built an extension on their house. Praise God. But the Lord didn't forget to reward her for what she did. But here's the point I want to make this morning. It wasn't a one-off reward. The Lord didn't just give her conception and a son, which was a miracle indeed, and a reward and a gift that I'm sure she never even conceived, a great gift. But the point is, the reward keeps coming. The Lord keeps blessing her because she was faithful. The Lord's reward continues. I was thinking, just in the prayer meeting there actually beforehand, you and I can sin against God. And we can live without the Lord and end up dying without Christ. And how long does the Lord reward you for your Christlessness eternally? For your acts of sin, he rewards you eternally. So the opposite is true. For your works of faithfulness, still the Lord rewards you eternally. Let that encourage you. Every cup of cold water you give will be eternally rewarded. This is a great God, men and women, doing exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think. So for the ladies who made sandwiches, the Lord reward you for that. I might get an abundance of sandwiches now for Friday night. Let's go back to our text in Matthew 8. And there's three things I want to leave with you from this text. It naturally breaks into three parts here. And the first thing is this. I want you to see the warning from God. The warning from God. You see, in verse 1, Elisha says to the woman, listen, there's going to be a famine. It's going to be for 7 years. So depart and leave. And I find that most intriguing. You see, note here, the verse says that God's going to send a famine. And sometimes people would try to, trying to protect the name of God by saying the Lord would never allow those things to happen. And, you know, it's because of the fall and sin. And that's true. It is the fall and it's the sin that brings those, but it's God that sends it. In response to man's sin and in response to man's wickedness. If you break someone's windows, the punishment must come for doing so. If you break the law of God, the punishment must come. And that's what's happening here. The verse specifically says that in verse 1. The Lord hath called for a famine. It's the Lord's doing. It's the Lord's will. It's the Lord's plan. You compare even the days where Joseph was born. And in those days, there were, again, 7 years of famine. Isn't that right? But let me tell you, you might look here and see great judgment, but when I see that, I see great mercy. I see great mercy here. Because what you have is the Lord showing the people that your sin will be dealt with. Your sin will be punished. You see, if you live a godless life, it will bring about judgment. And the famine was a reminder. The famine is an early reminder of what eternity is like. Because God will judge you for your sin. There'll be a dryness. There'll be a barrenness. You'll be cast into God's hell where there's suffering and sorrow. So learn well the lesson of the famine. For someday you'll stand before God and you'll be eternally judged. And so I see this famine actually as a great act of grace. It's a blessing to the people here, an early warning, a limited judgment to warn the people of the eternal judgment to follow. So the warning of famine was given to Elisha. But here's what I find interesting. The Lord, this is my reading of it anyway, the Lord didn't say to the woman, go 7 years. It was Elisha who said it. Read the text really carefully here. Verse 1. Then spake Elisha unto the woman. And it goes on to describe who the woman was, whose son he had restored to life, saying, here's what he said then, arise and go thou and thine household and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn. And what I take from that is God told Elisha there's going to be a famine. And Elisha now knows the truth. He knows God's judgment's coming. He didn't say to Elisha, Elisha, go to that woman now and tell her. That doesn't seem to be the case here. We're certainly not told that's the case. It appears that the warning of judgment came, and Elisha, realizing that, went to warn the woman and gave her advice. Now, I have no doubt that God gave Elisha a heart for the people and a heart for this woman. And in the providence of God, the Lord is working all this out for this woman's good. But I simply want to make the point right now. Here's a man whom God had spoken to, and he gave words of advice to this woman, which were good words of advice. It was good for her. It was good for her indeed. She was a great woman. She was great not only in financial and possessions that she had, but she was great in her godliness and her goodness. And I want this to encourage you, men and women, because Elisha went to this woman because this woman had helped Elisha in the past. God didn't forget about it. And it appears that Elisha didn't forget about it either. And if there was something he could do for this woman, he desired to do it. Here's a man who knows what God is doing
and he's simply giving advice upon what God has said. This is very much the work of a preacher. The Lord hasn't said to me this morning, come to Larne Free Presbyterian Church, and left out a list of all your names to me, and said, here's who's going to be here today. Now you tell them this. That's not how this works. I've been given God's word, the book, the Bible. I've been told there is a judgment. I believe with all my heart the Lord leads me to a passage, sermon after sermon after sermon. As I seek the Lord leads. No doubt about that at all. But I'm here simply as God's servant, like Elisha here, just telling you what I know to be true. And that puts an onus on to you. Because we'll see secondly here, not only a warning from God, but the wisdom of the woman. Look at verse 2. And the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God. And she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. You can see here her wisdom. The Lord definitely has spoke to Elisha. And Elisha had a heart to tell the woman. And what he told the woman was right. It was good. And there's no doubt the Lord put it on Elisha's heart to do this. And there's providence here. But the point of this is the woman obeyed. She took the warning. She understands when God speaks about a famine's definitely going to come. And this man has warned me, so I must respond to the fact that God's going to send a famine. Listen, Elisha was a frail man like everybody else. He made mistakes. He was faulty. And I'm sure this woman could have pointed out many of his faults. But she obeys what he says, not because of Elisha, but because of God. God said the famine's coming. Therefore, I will go. I will leave. But here's what I see about this woman. Verse 2, it says, and the woman arose. And can you see there the immediate action she takes? She arose. She's told, you better go because the famine's coming. And she doesn't think, well, I'll leave it for a year. I'll see how it goes. I'll not panic. We'll not have a knee-jerk reaction here. We'll just sit out for a while and consider her position. No. There was immediate response. It wasn't left. The text gives the idea here. It wasn't left for weeks on end. Because you and I both know, if you say I'll do it tomorrow, it'll never be done. And when that's the case with your salvation, you tread on extremely dangerous ground. Her response here was immediate. But her response was exact. Because look what the prophet said here. He said, the Lord has said there's going to be 7 years of famine. 7 years of famine. You look at verse 2. And look what it says here. And the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God. And she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines for how long? 7 years. Her obedience was immediate. Her obedience was exact. You see, whatever God said to Elisha, the length of famine will be so long, that's how long she determined to do this. It was exact. She didn't miss a detail of God's word to Elisha. That's the point. Didn't miss a detail. She didn't take this lightly. She took the word of God dead seriously. Dead seriously. This is not something to mess around with. This depended, her life depended on it, her son's life depended on it, her husband's life depended on it, whoever is in this household, their lives depended on her obedience to this book. So there's no messing around, no beating around the bush, no foolishness, no procrastination, immediate, exact obedience. That was wisdom. That was wise. I do love the fact that Elisha came and told her this. He didn't have to. But it was for her good. And I have no doubt that this woman had great faith in God. Great faith in the Word of God. And you see, men and women, isn't this true? That you might say, yes, I believe all of this. I'm going to be honest. And to some degree, this is always the case. What you say doesn't mean a big lot to me. Doesn't mean a big lot to God above. It's what you do. And you might say you believe there's a God, and you believe there's a heaven, and you believe there's a hell, and you believe the Bible, but do absolutely nothing. You're deceiving yourself. You don't believe at all. You don't believe at all. And of course, the Word of God says that all those who call, all those who believe are saved. Those who do not believe are not saved. So your actions, your lifestyle, your choices, your decision, your response to the Word of God determines where you are. There was a warning from God. There was the wisdom of the woman. But let me show you now the wonder of the king. Go to verse 4. It says here, and the king... We assume this is King Jehoram, we're not told. This passage may not just be chronological with the rest of them. This book of 2 Kings isn't so much working chronologically, it's working regards to topic and different points. But nevertheless, we'll assume it is Jehoram. Verse 4, and it says, and the king talked with Gehazi. And this is Gehazi who was stricken down with leprosy, all right? And there's two views here. Maybe this did happen after he was stricken with leprosy. That would tie in well with the order of the passage. And that may well be the case. I don't know. Or maybe it happened before he was stricken with leprosy. We're just not sure. Nevertheless, here you have the king talking with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha hath done. And I want to just stop there for a minute. Here's this king, no matter who he is, whether it's Ahab or Jehoram or whoever, the kings who lived in Gehazi's day were not converts. Remember we saw that last week. Jehoram, one of the better kings of that day, was little more than a nominal Christian. What I mean there is he's simply a believer in name, not by actions, not by conviction, but he simply walks in a way where people would look and think, yeah, he's a believer, but he wasn't a believer at all. A nominal Christian. And our land is full of nominal Christians, and that's a burden because the Lord hasn't prepared a mansion for nominal Christians. He's prepared a mansion for those who are washed in his blood and saved. And just because we have a so-called Christian nation, I don't even know if our nation would call itself Christian anymore, probably not. But just because we have a nation that at least was a Christian nation in years gone past does not mean they're all going to heaven. Anyway, verse 4 says here, this king, whoever he was, had an interest in the work of God. He was fascinated by it. And he wanted the servant of the man of God to come and tell him things that Elisha had been doing. He wanted to hear, perhaps, of the axe raising out of the water, or the bowl of broth that was cured by the casting in of the meal, or the son that was raised to life here as we have read. The king has a wonder about all this. There's a wonder, a glory about the working of God. And I want that to encourage you men and women here today. Because we long for men and women to be interested in Christ, interested in the Bible, interested in God. And what's the one thing that will do that? God working. God working. And when God does miracles, people will take note. When you have the miracle of salvation, of conversion, people will take note. Listen, you've heard it said before, this Bible doesn't need you and me to defend it. Never see yourself as someone who's going to stand up for the Bible. If you don't do it, the whole thing's going to fall apart. Listen, do not see yourself in such a high light. You're not. It's the Bible that's defending us of anything. Let me tell you, this Bible, as I said before, is like a lion. You let it out of the cage. It will defend itself. The Word of God is mighty. God is mighty. God is glorious. And when He works, people take note. If you want the world, if you want this town to be transfixed by the power and the glory of God, pray that God saves souls. And that's something that no scientist, no religion, no false religion, no sinner has anything to say against other than this, that person is changed. And the only answer, yes, someone has changed him, and it's God. And the king here, this unsaved king, I'm using the word unsaved there, but you understand what I mean. He wasn't a follower of God, although he was the king of Israel, but nevertheless, he had an interest in these things that fascinated him. At this point, he's not interested in his women. He's not interested in his wealth. He's not drinking his wine. What's more interesting? The work of God. Fascinated by it.
So, let's go to verse 5. Because there's great providence here. By the way, I want you to see his interest. I should have said that there. I want you to notice his interest in what the Lord had been doing. But let me show you now God's providence here. We're thinking about the wonder of the king. And he's interested indeed. But in the middle of all this, there's God's providence overseeing every detail here. Verse 5, and it came to pass, as he, Gehazi, was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, my lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son, whom Elisha restored to life. You can't read that and just be a little bit baffled. This woman left 7 years ago. 7 years. And she comes back to Israel. And no doubt with great timidity and fear and concern, she goes right up into the palace. And she is going there to speak to the king because she has come back to Israel where she lived. And her land, for whatever reason, has now been occupied. Maybe the king, the king's household saw it as vacant. And they moved in and they used her ground. And that's most likely the way it was. The king took the ground in her house and he was using it for whatever he could. And here's this woman, she comes back and her ground is gone. And she's panicking and she's come back. She's obeyed the Lord and what the Lord led the prophet to do. And it seems to be a disaster, a catastrophe. She comes back, her home's gone, her farm is gone. And she goes straight to the king of Israel. And she walks up to the king with great fear and great timidity. And all the while God's working for her. Because she comes to the door of the palace. She knocks on the door. She walks. And that's even a miracle. She was permitted to come to the king. But she walks right up to the king. And when she goes to the king, at that very moment, God has Gehazi there, who is talking to the king about this woman. Do you see the unbelievable providence here? Right down to the very second of this event. God, men and women, overrules every moment of our lives, everything, to fulfill his purposes for his glory and for our good. And I want that to encourage you today. Here's this woman who had an eye to serve God, who had hands willing to labor for God, who had a heart for the things of God, and the Lord didn't forget about her. But she would never lose her reward. I want to encourage you who are believers here today, as we're going to sing later on, a moment or two, we have that chorus where it says, God will take care of you. He will. He will. Famine has arrived. Her home was taken. Her fields were taken. She may have panicked momentarily, but God was going to take care of her. He wasn't going to forsake her. But for those of you who aren't saved here today, you're not walking in this same path and this same road. And you haven't this great God of providence and power looking after you and preparing the way before you. I love that passage in Scripture where it talks of making the crooked paths straight and the mountains are plain. That's what God does for us. That's the reality. And sometimes the Lord allows the mountains to stand. He allows the crooked paths to be there. But even when that happens, it's for your good and his glory.
The Lord sees us through, men and women, every single day. But if you're not saved, this is different because you feel at verse 2 here. Verse 1 is the warning. But you haven't been wise in regards to your soul and you have not obeyed. And therefore there will be no wonder over what God has done in your life. All there will be is wailing. When you enter into God's eternity and you're found to be wanting and not a child of God. And this passage, although written long, long time ago, has incredible relevance for you and me today. I wonder, would you choose the path of this woman? Or would you continue to live the path of the world and end up dying without Christ? I can tell you today it's good to be saved. I can tell you it's a joy to serve God in some little way. And the Lord rewards his people for their faithfulness. Please take your hymn books this morning and turn with me to the hymn number 2. The hymn number 2.